denim covered hips and gave Taya a, "Do you think I'm a dumbass?" look. "Girl, we heard you taking it like a whore in an alley from 200 yards away. I'm thinking of giving Lobo another look after hearing what he did to you." A deep growl vibrated the room, and only after Katina laughed and held up her hands in defense did Taya realize it had come from her. "Yeah, not your lover." Katina rolled her eyes and took a seat next to Taya. "My ass." Taya ignored the female and got a quick lay of the land. There were four possible exits if she went by the currents of free-moving air flowing from beneath the doors, each carrying with it a different scent. Another door must be a closet. There were also several weapons available, from a spear propped in one corner to a selection of ceremonial axes and blades on the walls. Not that she knew how to use any of them. Over the next few minutes, as she plotted a possible escape plan, a dozen more people filed in. Hunter sat at the head of the table. Then, finally, Lobo stumbled through the doorway, his hair dripping wet and clinging to his bare neck and shoulders. Someone had bandaged his wound, the long white strips slashing across his hard-cut chest and around his muscular back. Even though he was clearly in pain, he gave her a reassuring look as Baden shoved him into a seat across the table from her. Riker was the last to arrive. He entered with Nicole, who, to Taya's surprise, merely glanced at her with curiosity as she waddled in, one arm wrapped in bandages and another bandage taped to her temple. She took a seat kitty-corner from Riker, who sat at the end of the table across from Hunter. It was like a big formal dinner, and she and Lobo were the main course. Once everyone was seated, Hunter folded his hands together on the tabletop and looked at Lobo and Taya in turn. "Who's going to start?" When neither Taya nor Lobo spoke up, Hunter gave a resigned nod. "Okay, let's try this again. Lobo, you shifted into my form, broke into our headquarters, and tried to seduce my mate. Tell me why you shouldn't die." "Lobo did what?" Taya whipped her head around to stare at Lobo, but if he could feel the burn of her glare, he didn't react. His eyes were locked with Hunter's, and she swore the air crackled with electricity. Everyone shifted uncomfortably, and a few of the people sitting around the table actually fingered the daggers at their hips. A low growl rattled in her chest, and her hackles rose as the need to protect Lobo consumed her. As a human, she'd felt like a sheep following the herd, but as a wolf, she'd found her footing and her voice. In her wolf mind, she and Lobo were a pack, and she'd leap across the table and go for Hunter's throat to protect it. Tension practically dripped from the walls as Lobo, his hands still bound, rested his forearms on the table and leaned forward. "I only took your form to get help for the wolf," he said far more calmly than she would have if someone had just asked her to explain why she shouldn't die. "I had no other choice. Without Nicole's aid, she would have died. I was trying to leave when Aelin saw me. She kissed me. I didn't seduce her, and if she told you that, your mate is a liar." Baden whistled under his breath, while even more warriors reached for their weapons. But Hunter remained eerily still. The guy's expression was stony, unreadable, and scarier for it. "She didn't tell me that," Hunter said. "But given your history, it wasn't a stretch to assume." He gestured to Taya. "What about her? Did she enter the compound with you?" "She has nothing to do with this." Lobo didn't glance her way, and for some reason that bothered her. It was almost as if he was avoiding looking at her. "Drop all charges against her. Welcome her into your clan, and I'll tell you anything you want to know." She gaped at him in astonishment. He wanted her to live with these people? "Lobo, no! Lawkeeper!" Hunter barked, cutting her off. "What is the punishment for impersonating a clan chief?" A dark-haired male she'd heard someone call Takus tipped his chair back and pulled a leather-bound book off the shelf behind him. He flipped to a flagged page, with more flourish than was probably needed for the situation. He seemed to be enjoying this. They all did. "For followers of the Raven," he said in a deep, ominous voice, "death is the acceptable penalty. For followers of the Crow, any punishment is allowed, and no punishment is considered too harsh." Oh, God. She had no idea what the Raven and Crow stuff was about, but she hoped like hell these people leaned toward the Crow. Hunter's cool gaze never left Lobo. "And what is the punishment for assaulting a pregnant female?" Taya's gut did a slow roll as Takus flipped pages. "That's a little more complicated," he said. "The laws take into account circumstance and whether the crime was committed by a clan member or an outsider. But basically, we're talking about anything from imprisonment to lashes to staking atop an anthill." Taya felt sick to her stomach. Had Lobo saved her life, only for her to be slowly eaten by ants? Smiling grimly, Hunter gestured to Lobo. "Now answer my question." Lobo clenched his teeth and sat back in his seat, regarding Hunter with eyes that glittered with contempt. "Fuck you." Thunderheads formed in Hunter's eyes, and once again the hairs on the back of Taya's neck stood up. He nodded at Aiden. "Take him to the dungeon." "No." Taya leaped to her feet. "He's just trying to protect me, all of it. It's all my fault." "Taya," Lobo snapped. "Don't say another word." "Why?" she yelled, fed up with all the rules she couldn't fathom. "I don't understand. They could kill you." Slamming his palms down on the table, he flashed his fangs at her. "I don't care. I need you to be safe." "You don't care? What about what I care about?" she shot back. "I don't want you to die. Did you think about that? You've kept me safe for the last 12 years, and now it's my turn, you stubborn idiot." "Your turn? You don't think you've kept me safe?" He laughed, but the sound was bitter and hard. "I'm alive because of you, Taya. After Moonbound kicked me out, I had nothing to live for. I was a zombie looking for a bullet to the brain. You gave me purpose, a reason to live." Tears stung her eyes, but before she could say anything, not that she knew what to say, Hunter stood. "Enough." He jammed his finger at her. "I know this territory like the back of my hand, and not once in 12 damned years have I, or any of my warriors, laid eyes on you." "Yes, you have," she said quietly, ignoring Lobo's madly shaking head. "Except I didn't look like this." Hunter's brows drew down in confusion. In fact, everyone traded bewildered glances. But it was Nicole who turned to Taya in amazement. "Oh my God," Nicole said, her voice tinged with awe. "It's you, isn't it? You're the wolf." As the room exploded in conversation and questions, Taya watched Lobo sag into his seat as if drained by disappointment. She couldn't stand the way he was looking at her, as if she'd betrayed them both. How, she wasn't sure. All she knew was that Hunter had been determined to punish him for not talking, and she couldn't allow that to happen. Hunter held up his hand and called for everyone to shut the fuck up. Once everyone was seated again, he turned to Taya. "Look, I don't know much about skinwalkers, but I know they can't hold any form but their own indefinitely. So unless you spend most of your time hiding, and then only coming out into the open as a wolf, you're lying." It hadn't occurred to her that anyone would think she was lying, but with no way to prove that what she was saying was true, aside from shifting into a wolf and possibly never shifting back, she knew she had to be convincing. Lobo's life might depend on it. "It's true. I swear." She told them what she'd told Lobo, that she'd barely been turned into a vampire when she shifted into a wolf, and was never able to shift back. Skepticism wafted through the air, its scent similar to singed hair. and Taya wondered if her sense of smell would always be so sensitive. It was useful to gauge emotion, but just once. Couldn't some emotion smell like chocolate? Or bacon?
"You're saying you were turned into a vampire 12 years ago?"
Riker asked. And when she nodded, he added, "How? And why aren't your eyes silver?" Even though more than a decade had passed, the wounds still felt raw, and she trembled a little as she spoke. "I can't explain my eyes. They've always been this color. As for the rest, I was working as a dental assistant while going to school to be a dentist. Then my mom got cancer. She died 6 weeks after the diagnosis." Taya inhaled deeply, willing herself to not break down. She and her mother, Cherie, had been close, each the only person the other had in her life. A secret had bonded them, and once Cherie was gone, Taya's life fell apart. "The pressure and stress got to me, and I made some bad choices. She'd partied too much and hung out with a wild crowd, and one night she'd found herself at an underground blood club on the outskirts of Seattle. Because, hey, all the cool people were illegally feeding and sleeping with vampires. I was drunk and stupid, and I let a vampire bite me." She grimaced, hating herself for being so reckless when she'd spent 24 years being responsible, the kind of person the government didn't look at too closely. The really messed up thing? He didn't even get any blood, because the place got raided by Vast. They collared or killed all the vampires. The one who bit me is probably someone's slave now. She'd always been disgusted by the vampire slave trade, something humans had legalized long before she was born. Vampires were stronger, faster, and superior in almost every way, but humans overwhelmingly outnumbered them, and free vampires spent their time in hiding, subject to being hunted for bounties or captured for the slave trade. "Wait," Nicole scowled. "If vampire strike team forces interrupted, how did you exchange blood with the vampire?"
"I didn't."
"You must have," she insisted. "Worldwide mandatory vaccinations against the saliva-borne vampiric infection have been in effect for decades. The failure rate of the vaccine is practically nil. Humans can only turn if they're introduced to the blood-borne version of the virus."
"Never let a vampire bite you, sweetheart. And never tell anyone where you're from or that your vaccination document is forged. Never."
Funny how her mother's words, drilled into Taya since she was 3 years old, were ringing loud and clear in her ears now. But that night, when the vampire was plunging his fangs into her throat, her mom had been as silent as she was dead. And the funniest thing was, none of those warnings mattered now.
"I was never vaccinated."
She slid a glance at Lobo, who was watching intently, puzzling her out the way he did a hunter's cruel snare or a leg trap before he disarmed and destroyed it.
"My mother paid a lot of money to have my immunization record falsified."
"Why?"
he asked, but she had a feeling he was already close to the answer. It had never taken him long to figure out a trap, either.
"Because the vaccine is fatal to my father's people." Every eye in the room fell on Nicole, and it was Riker who posed the next question.
"Is that possible, Nicole?"
Nicole nodded, almost numbly. She shifted in her seat, fidgeting like a kid in a dentist's chair who was about to have a cavity filled.
"Once worldwide vaccination became mandatory," she said finally, "pockets of anti-vaxxers were rooted out. Most had resisted for ideological reasons, but one group, a native population in Canada, the Klimut tribe." She looked over at Taya, almost apologetically. "They resisted out of self-preservation. The vaccine was lethal for them. They would die within 24 hours of getting the shot. A lot of the Klimut went into hiding. They were hunted mercilessly by Canadian and international vast forces, and those who were caught were never seen again by anyone outside of a Daedalus lab." She gave Taya that look again, but this time the apologetic expression was steeped in shame. And that was when it clicked. Nicole must have worked for Daedalus, the company that had revolutionized vampire slavery and created the vaccine against the vampire infection. They were the most loved and hated company on the planet.
Your father was a Tlingit Indian, wasn't he?
I never knew him, but yes.
Taya fixed her gaze on a bear skull hanging on the wall, its surface painted with scenes of ancient Native American bison hunts. My mom changed her name and fled to Seattle when she found out she was pregnant. They didn't want anyone to ever suspect that I'm part Tlingit.
She got one letter from my father, and then she never heard from him again. Apparently he went missing.
She turned to Nicole and was surprised to see that the doctor's expression was still tight with guilt. Whatever she'd done in her past was a source of pain for her, and right now it didn't matter that Nicole was supposed to be the enemy. She'd been nothing but kind to Taya. Offering a tentative smile, Taya said softly,
"Thank you for trying to help me, and I'm sorry I attacked you for it."
Nicole blinked, obviously expecting neither gratitude nor an apology. Even Riker looked a little startled.
"It's okay," Nicole said. "You must have been terrified to wake up in a strange place and with two legs instead of four."
Lobo tugged at the rope around his wrists with his teeth, and she almost laughed. He did not know that in order to chew through something, like shoelaces or a drawstring on a pair of sweats, you had to use your back teeth. With a curse, he settled his hands on the table again.
"Your mother wasn't a native, was she?"
"Not even close. Except for her name, she was as Scottish as Loch Ness."
Lobo nodded, more to himself than anyone else.
"That explains the Skinwalker glitch."
"I'm not following," she said, and a murmur of agreement rose up from around the table as everyone turned to Lobo. He didn't look at anyone else, kept his gaze focused solely on her.
"According to lore, most Skinwalkers are born vampires, but all of them come from pure Native American blood. You were born neither a vampire nor a purebred native. You shouldn't have this ability at all, so it's not a surprise that you can't control it."
"So why did I shift back in the lab, when I hadn't been able to do it on my own for years?"
Nicole blew out a long breath before speaking up.
"I did a little reading up on shapeshifters after Hunter told me about Lobo. If what I read is true, Skinwalkers who are injured while in another body will revert to their true form when they die. It's likely that you were so close to death that your body shifted, and in doing so you healed."
She gave Taya a pointed look. "I would recommend that you not shift into a wolf again."
"Good call, Doc. I don't even know if I can.
How did it happen before?"
God, this was so embarrassing. How could she admit that it had been a total accident?
"I'm not sure. I turned into a vampire, and I was terrified I'd get caught. I didn't know what to do, so I drove until my car ran out of gas." She'd been in the mountains, hungry, alone, with no idea how to survive. And then she'd heard it. A wolf howling in the distance. Then another. And another. They'd seemed to be singing to each other, so in tune that she'd felt the ties that held the pack together. There was a family of wolves that... I don't know. I heard them, and they made me want what they had. I had this urge to join them, and I felt this pull. And the next thing I knew, I had four legs and fur. I tried to switch back, but I couldn't. She shook her head. How did I get this ability in the first place, if it's something so rare, let alone unheard of in someone like me?
Lobo cut a sharp look at Hunter.
It seems that the impossible has become possible lately.
Whatever subtext was at play here struck a nerve, and Hunter went taut.
What do you mean?
Lobo shifted his gaze to peg Riker with a meaningful stare.
I know about your son. I always thought invisibility was a myth.
Taya tried not to let her mouth fall open, and failed. So she hadn't been seeing things that day. She and Lobo had been out patrolling the forest, and they'd come across a young vampire who had disappeared and reappeared twice before their eyes.
Bastion is... unique,
Riker said, a note of pride in his voice. Hunter sat back in his chair and surveyed everyone.
I think I've heard enough. Lobo, I'll honor your request to keep Taya safe. We will welcome her as a moonbound member. I'm sure we can use someone with dental training around here. Vampires are probably a dentist's wet dream. Nicole, unless you want to pursue her attack against you...
I don't, Nicole said quickly. She shot Taya a friendly smile, and Taya shifted uncomfortably in her seat. She wanted to hate these people, but she was finding that they weren't all the monsters she'd expected them to be.
Then we'll have quarters prepared for her, Hunter said. Katina, will you show her around?
Wait. Taya might have conflicting emotions about Moonbound, but she did know that she didn't want to live here. I don't want this. I'm going home with Lobo.
That's in violation of vampire law,
Aiden said a little too gleefully. He was definitely one of the ones she didn't like.
Skinwalkers aren't allowed to mate with each other.
We aren't... mated. But man, her cheeks felt hot, because mating was exactly what they'd done in the trailer. Katina rolled her eyes again. Not like that.
Lobo didn't meet her gaze,
and she realized that, while the mating restrictions might be true, that wasn't what this was about.
You need to go, Taya.
No. She crossed her arms over her chest and dug in. Not until I know what's going to happen to you.
You'll see him again, Hunter assured her. You have my word.
She narrowed her eyes at him. Since I don't know you, your word means nothing to me. One black eyebrow shot up, and his lip quirked in amusement.
I see your point, but given that I'm in charge, you don't have any choice but to trust me.
She hated that he was right.
Please go, Taya. Lobo murmured. Hunter is a dick, but he's a dick who keeps his word.
Thanks for the endorsement, Hunter said dryly. Reluctantly, she rose from her seat and followed Katina out of the room. Only after they were on the other side of the complex did she realize that Hunter had said she'd see Lobo again. But he hadn't said he'd be alive. 9. Once the door was closed and Lobo was sure Taya was out of earshot, he turned to Hunter.
You told her I'd see her again. Before my execution? Or after?
There were a few chuckles from around the table, because sure, executions were hilarious. He must have forgotten how much he'd laughed at all the people he'd seen die at the command, or hand, of Hunter's father. Bear Roar had been a brutal leader, a strict follower of the Way of the Raven, and a total bastard. Lobo had laughed when Hunter killed him. Hunter gestured at Baden, who, after giving Hunter an are-you-fucking-serious look, shrugged and sliced through the ropes binding Lobo's wrists. Lobo rubbed the raw skin as circulation flowed back into his hands.
Leave us.
Hunter's tone made it clear that he wouldn't tolerate argument.
You too, Rike.
Riker frowned, but like the good soldier he was, herded everyone out, and mere seconds later... Lobo was alone in the room with Moonbound's chief. The last time they'd been alone, it had been for the same reason, and just like now, his life had been on the line. The only differences were that this time he wasn't in chains, and there wasn't a horde of people calling for a painful, drawn-out death sentence. Hunter lounged back in his chair, his fingers steepled as his hands rested on his abs, his cold, hard gaze tracking Lobo as he paced the room.
I told you that if you ever shifted into another vampire's form again, I'd end you. Do you remember that?
Lobo laughed, really getting behind the gallows humor thing.
Do you think I get death threats so often that I forget them?
You're an asshole, so I'm going to answer that with a yes. Lobo laughed again as long-held contempt rushed to the surface.
You've been waiting for this. Haven't you? I'll bet you couldn't wait for me to screw up so you could put my skull on its own special little shelf in the Cave of the Vanquished. We sealed the CV decades ago, and you're the one who broke the law, and you're the one who kicked me out of the clan without listening to my side of the story. Your side? Hunter asked, incredulous. You were caught seducing Tragen's mate. While wearing his form, you admitted it. No, Lobo said wryly. You asked me if I'd taken his form. I nodded, and then you broke my jaw. I couldn't give you an explanation after that, because my face was shattered and half of my teeth were on the damned floor. To be fair, he hadn't been in shape to speak even before Hunter's punch. Sunina and Tragen had done their best to kill him before other clan members heard the commotion and interrupted. You're upset about a few broken bones? Hunter pushed to his feet and strode over to the liquor cabinet on the far wall. You're lucky Tragen didn't kill you. If I caught you with my mate in my bed, you wouldn't have made it out of the bedroom alive. I wasn't. He started to say that he hadn't been in bed with the female, but the details weren't important. Listen to me, you pompous ass. I wasn't trying to seduce Sunina that night. I was trying to get her to confess. Hunter took two highball glasses from the cabinet. Confess to what? Well, at least the guy was listening this time. Lobo scrubbed a hand over his face, realizing that this was his one chance to finally set the record straight, and maybe get out of this alive. I was out on patrol one day, and I saw Sunina with Shadow Spawn's leader. The first time it happened, I thought it might be coincidence that they'd come across each other in the forest. Yet something had niggled at him, so the next time she slipped away from Moonbound, he'd followed. But when I saw her again, near Rat Lake, obviously waiting for someone, I knew something was up. A few minutes later, cars showed up, and they did a lot more than just talk. And they didn't see you. Hunter popped the top off a bottle of whiskey and poured it into the glasses. They saw me, he admitted, as a wolf. Hunter swung around, offering Lobo one of the drinks. Did you shift against orders? Lobo rolled his eyes. I tell you that one of your warriors was screwing the enemy, and that is what you want to know? He snatched the glass out of Hunter's hand. Nice of the guy to give him a pre-execution libation. Sunina is a spy, Hunter. I shifted into Tragen's form to confront her about it. Turns out he didn't know about her extracurricular activities. I tried to tell him, but he was too busy trying to impale my liver on his knife to listen. He snorted. I must have said enough, though. Ever wonder why he was found dead 2 weeks later, butchered by poachers? One dark eyebrow shot up. You think Sunina is responsible for his death? Her? Or Shadowspawn. Lobo downed the alcohol, savoring the smooth, rich burn that was so different from the harshness of the rot gut he was used to drinking. As warmth spread through his insides, he wandered around the room, noting all the changes since the last time he'd been here. Hunter had gotten rid of the enemy scalps his father had kept nailed to the wall. Maybe he really had made some changes around here. Electricity was a nice touch. And who would have guessed Hunter would allow televisions and video game consoles inside the clan? His father had barely tolerated books. Hunter, still standing near the liquor cabinet, exhaled on a curse. Why didn't you come to me with this sooner? Seriously? He slammed his glass down on the table. I don't know Moonbound shit. Your father slaughtered my family and then brought me here to survive on whatever scraps people would throw me. I didn't even have a seat at the dinner tables. Maybe you don't remember me begging for someone to drop some food on the floor, only to get kicked in the face when I reached for it, but I do. Maybe you had a bed growing up, but I had a chain and a pile of dirt in a kitchen corner. All of you fierce warriors were so terrified of a boy who might turn into the big bad wolf and eat you. So fuck you, Hunter.
To Lobo's shock, Hunter had the grace to look away. During Lobo's nearly 50 years with the clan, Hunter had never been cruel to him, but he'd never been kind either. As far as Hunter had been concerned, Lobo had been invisible. Hunter's voice was gruff, tinged with anger.
My father was a monster.
It wasn't an apology, but it was close enough, considering Hunter hadn't been the one whose rule had brought suffering not just to Lobo, but to any clan member who didn't measure up to Bear Roar's exacting, brutal standards. Hunter's gaze snapped back up, his moment of remorse a thing of the past. The position of clan chief suited him.
You still should have come to me,
Lobo snorted.
After you threatened me with death?
Hunter put the drink to his lips and eyed him over the rim of the glass.
Only if you shifted into another clan member.
Yeah, well, I did that yesterday, and I was fully aware of the risk I was taking.
He flashed fangs, daring Hunter to challenge his decision.
If you're looking for me to beg for my life, or apologize for trying to save Taya's, it ain't gonna happen. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. So if you're going to kill me, get it over with.
Hunter swirled the liquid around in his glass and stared at the deer hide stretched on the wall. For a long time, Lobo didn't know if the guy was going to say anything. He seemed pretty damned content to let Lobo wonder how much longer he had to breathe.
Is what you said earlier true?
Hunter finally asked.
About having nothing to live for after you were banished from here.
Lobo let out a deep, shuddering breath. He refused to share his inner pain with Hunter, and he couldn't believe how much he'd already shared in front of a dozen of Hunter's minions. He hated feeling vulnerable, and right now he might as well be facing Hunter with his ribcage splayed wide open to reveal his beating heart.
No other clan would accept a skinwalker, and living like a stray dog with other free vampires in Seattle's sewer systems didn't appeal to me. So tell me, oh great clan chief, what I had to live for before I found a half-dead wolf that needed my help.
If Hunter was annoyed by Lobo's sarcasm, it didn't show. If anything, he seemed genuinely curious, which threw Lobo off balance in a big way. He'd hated Hunter down to his very marrow. But the Hunter who'd kicked him out of the clan didn't seem to exist anymore.
Did you know she wasn't really a wolf?
Hunter asked.
I sensed something different about her. But I thought she might be another vampire's spirit animal in physical form.
When Hunter cocked a skeptical eyebrow at him, Lobo shrugged.
What? Weirder shit than that happens all the time. Like how Riker's son can go invisible, and your mate can summon portals.
The temperature in the room plunged so fast that on Lobo's next exhale he saw his breath hang in the air.
The fact that I haven't killed you is proof that this clan has come a long way since the days of my father and my own early rule.
Hunter's husky voice was as icy as the room, emerging between his lips peeled back from razor fangs.
But when it comes to the safety of my mate, I'm as primitive as it gets. Her ability makes her a kidnapping target for every vampire and human on the planet. So if you tell anyone outside of Moonbound about her gift, I will reopen the cave of the vanquished and mount your skull on the wall while you're still breathing. Understood?
Well, that was graphic. But hey, it sounded like maybe Hunter wasn't going to kill him after all.
Understood.
Hunter eyed him for an uncomfortably long moment, probably trying to determine whether he could trust Lobo's word. Lobo couldn't blame him. He'd stop at nothing to protect Taya. Finally, just as Lobo's palms started to sweat, Hunter crossed to the door and flung it open. He spoke in hushed tones with Baden, who was standing outside. When he returned, his expression was grim.
I sent Baden to find Sunina. She won't admit to being a spy. If she's a spy, we will get to the bottom of it.
Pivoting on his heel, he moved back to the door.
Come on. You can shower and have a shot of human blood while Nicole looks at that wound. A wound he had only because one of Hunter's boys had shot him. I'll be fine. It's not a suggestion. I promised you a wolf. She'd see you again, and I don't want you keeling over in front of her. Why? Because it'll be the last time I see her.
Hunter paused with his hand on the doorknob.
If you're wondering whether I'm going to kill you, I'm not.
Lobo let out a breath he didn't know he'd been holding.
Why not? Because,
he said in a voice weighted with gravity Lobo didn't understand.
I'm not my father.
That was something that was becoming more obvious by the minute.
So what comes next?
Hunter yanked open the door and stepped out into the hallway.
We're going to get to the bottom of your accusation against Sunina.
He lowered his voice as a group of males walked by, their laughter echoing through the halls, something nearly unheard of during Bear Roar's reign. Hell, even after Hunter had taken over after his father's death, the clan had still been a dark, sobering place. The changes at Moonbound since then were startling.
I don't know why, but my gut tells me to believe you.
So until we get this straightened out,
you're free to go. And Taya? We'll keep her safe and teach her what she needs to know to survive as a vampire.
Even though it was exactly what Lobo had asked for, his stomach still churned. He'd asked Hunter to take care of Taya. But that was when the prospect of losing his head had been very real. Now? Damn. It was for the best. She needed friends, community, training. She needed the clan. He must have looked troubled, because Hunter's hard-ass expression softened. But that was like saying a diamond had softened into an agate.
She won't be a prisoner, Lobo. Good.
She doesn't like that. You should see what she did to my cabin when I locked her in it once. No, she didn't take to captivity well at all. But he also knew she didn't take orders well either. Keeping her here wouldn't be easy. He'd have to convince her. But how could he do that when he wasn't convinced himself? 10. Taya wanted to hate Moonbound and everything about it. But the people were friendly, if wary, the compound was clean and warm, and it boasted modern conveniences such as a library and rec center, which she was currently touring. They even had a kitchen and cooks who had made her a venison sandwich she'd scarfed down while she walked around with Katina in borrowed jeans and a fitted green long-sleeved top. This isn't like anything I imagined. Taya stared in awe at a young male and a female with bright orange pigtails as they played some sort of dance-themed video game on a screen nearly as large as one of the rec room walls. From what Lobo described, I expected dark caves and torches on the wall. This isn't exactly medieval times here. Katina laughed, her bright white fangs creating a striking contrast with her dark skin. I would definitely not be here if it was like that. I like my modern comforts. She shuddered, making her sleek black hair, gathered in a low, thick ponytail, brush against her paisley top. From what I hear, though, Moonbound used to be a horror show. I'm sure Lobo wasn't exaggerating. The old guard, mostly the born vampires who follow the way of the raven, they're a bunch of primitive, superstitious freaks. What's that about, this crow and raven thing? Katina rolled her pewter silver eyes. It's a belief system that supposedly explains vampire origins, if you want to completely discount science and logic. Again, It's pushed by the old guard, mainly as a way to keep everyone in line. Crows are more moderate, and ravens are just crazy.
Wow. Taya had so much to learn about being a vampire. As a human, she'd only known what the human powers that be wanted her to know about them. Mainly that they were dangerous, but they made good slaves when properly trained. Later, as a wolf, she'd learned about vampires by watching Lobo. But he wasn't exactly typical of the species, as she was just beginning to discover. He must have been so lonely.
Everything you see is available to you 24/7, Katina said as they walked past an empty pool table. It's usually busier here, but it's the new moon, so everyone is off feeding and
there you are.
Hunter's deep voice boomed through the room, and Taya spun, heart racing in anticipation of seeing Lobo. She'd barely laid eyes on him before he was crossing to her in quick, long strides. He'd showered, his damp hair raked back and wildly unruly, and he wore a pair of well-fitting worn jeans made for slim hips and powerful thighs. Fresh bandages crisscrossed his shoulders and disappeared under a black tank top that showed off every ropey muscle. Every female hormone danced in appreciation as he hauled her into his arms.
You okay?
He buried his face in her neck and held her so tight she couldn't escape if she'd wanted to, which she didn't.
I'm fine, she inhaled, taking in the comforting scent of him. God, she loved how he smelled, like trees and moss, with a subtle hint of musk.
I've been worried about you. He pulled back and glanced over at the doorway, where Hunter was talking with Katina, Riker, and someone Katina referred to as Jagger. Then, without warning, Lobo took her by the arm and spirited her into the connecting room, packed with arcade games and another large-screen TV. Where the hell did they get all this stuff anyway?
What are you doing?
In answer, he pushed her up against the side of the classic Pac-Man game, the long, lean length of his body covering hers.
I don't know what's going to happen after this, but I want you to be happy.
Then why do you sound so sad? In his eyes, hooded and shadowed, she saw the reason, and it speared her in the heart. This sounds like a goodbye.
It is, isn't it?
He dropped his face to hers so their foreheads touched, reminding her of all the times he'd done that when she was a wolf. He'd been so free with his affection, and it seemed that nothing had changed, which made what he said next all the more awful.
I think it has to be. For now.
What a load of bullshit. I won't live here without you, she swore. You can't make me. She didn't give a crap that she sounded childish. At this point, she'd suck on a pacifier if that's what it took to change his mind.
It's for the best,
he said, spewing more bullshit. But it was bullshit he wasn't going to back down from, and she knew it. Desperation made her, well, desperate, and she clung to his biceps, clutching him as if doing so would stop this from happening. I'll turn back into a wolf. Somehow, I'll figure out how. We can be like it was before. A heartbreaking sound of misery rattled in his throat.
Neither of us wants that, and you know it. You need the kind of life that only Moonbound can give you.
These are the people who threaten to kill you, Lobo. She cast a furtive glance at Hunter, who was idly bouncing a ping-pong ball in his palm as he talked with a growing group of people who were extremely well-armed. They hurt you. And then abandon you. How can you say that I should stay here? He stroked his hand over her hair, the way he'd petted her fur when he wanted to calm her down. It made her mad that it worked.
What happened was a long time ago.
His voice was calm, controlled, too controlled. She could smell the emotion in him, the conflict.
Hunter was different then. The clan was different. Trust me, it's safe for you here. And with everything going on in the human world, belonging to a clan is what you need.
Wrong. He was so wrong. She wasn't a pet to be passed around. I won't stay here, Lobo. Not without you.
Damn it, Tia.
Cracks in his tight control made his voice pitch low.
You need to stay.
I'm not a dog, she ground out.
If you were, this wouldn't be an issue. You're a vampire. Vampires aren't safe on their own. That's why clans work so well. It doesn't have to be forever, but right now you need to stay here.
Never. She was about to say as much when Baden, Takis, Aiden, and a male she didn't recognize rushed into the room, their expressions grim. Baden looked like he'd been chewing on an electric fence. She'd done that once. Not recommended. She and Lobo joined the group as Baden spoke up.
Sunina is gone.
What do you mean, gone?
Hunter stopped bouncing the ping-pong ball.
Did you search the compound?
Baden gave a curt nod.
I've got people still searching, but I'd bet my left nut the search won't turn up anything. I checked her quarters. Looks like she left in a rush.
She knows.
Lobo cursed. She knows I'm here, and she probably suspects that I've told the truth about her.
Excuse me? Taya interrupted. But who is Sunina?
A muscle in Lobo's jaw twitched with anger.
She's responsible for me getting kicked out of the clan, and she tried to murder me a couple of times.
This time it was Hunter who cursed, his hand closing on the little ball so hard it crumpled. Too bad it wasn't this Sunina person's skull.
Send out a search party, Hunter growled. Hurry! If she makes it to Shadowspawn before we catch her, she'll be lost to us.
But you have a treaty with Kars, Katina said. You can force him to give her up.
Hunter snorted. Do you really think he'll give her up so she can admit to being a spy? He'll kill her and blame her death on humans. We won't see her alive again.
Aiden fingered a dagger sheathed at his hip.
Hunter, are you sure Sunina is guilty of anything?
He shot Lobo a glare so hateful that Taya had to hold back a snarl.
We don't know, Lobo. This could be a trick. Skinwalkers are deceptive by nature.
Next to her, Lobo went taut, his hand clenching hers in a powerful grip, and she caught the acrid scent of danger rising from him. But she got the impression his anger wasn't about the insult to him. It was about the insult to her. She was a skinwalker, too.
Say that again.
Lobo's voice throbbed with menace.
Seriously.
Hunter stepped between them, forcing Aiden back a step.
Back off, Aiden. I might have made a mistake all those years ago, and if I did, and Lobo's right, a lot of the shit we've taken from Shadowspawn for decades is my fault. I will fix it. And to do that, we need to find Sunina.
She's a mystic keeper, Katina pointed out, easing the tension, if only slightly. She can evade us, and pretty easily, I might add.
So what? We're just supposed to sit around and do nothing?
Takis cursed. No way. I'm heading out.
Wait. Taya's face heated as all eyes fell on her. What's a mystic keeper? Lobo squeezed her hand.
A shaman, of sorts, mystic keepers can bend nature's energy to their will, to hide objects or to create invisible traps, wards, false trails, shit like that.
Trails. Taya was an expert at following those. Can she mask her scent? Baden shook his head.
But her ability allows her to throw false tracks and to cover up the real ones.
Then I can track her. When no one reacted, she huffed, What? Why aren't we moving?
You heard what Nicole said.
Lobo angled closer to her, a subtle movement that blocked the door, as if he thought she would bolt.
You can't shift into a wolf. You might not be able to turn back.
She wasn't sure she knew how to shift into a wolf again anyway. But the moment the thought formed, she felt an icy pull, a tingle that she instinctively understood was the key to shifting, not that she was going to do it.
My sense of smell is powerful.
She looked over at Hunter. I might be able to track her without shifting.
Hunter and Lobo exchanged glances.
"It's worth a try," Hunter said.
But when Lobo hesitated, she growled in frustration. "I don't need your permission, Lobo," she said. "If finding this person can clear your name, I'm doing it. End of story."
"Females, huh?"
Hunter sighed, and in a surprising move, he clapped Lobo on the back.
"Welcome to my world."
Baden threw back his head and let out what she could only describe as a battle cry, and the wolf in her wanted desperately to howl. The others joined in, and as the battle cries reached their peaks, Hunter threw open the door.
"Irinami kata uelet! May your spear find its mark."
Lobo was pretty sure that every able-bodied member of Moonbound was combing through the forest for the traitor. The woods were crawling with vampires, and he almost felt sorry for any vampire poacher who might be out hunting for an easy target. It turned out that Taya was both right and wrong about her sense of smell. She'd been able to track soon enough for the first couple of miles, but she lost the scent on the bank of a stream. After that, Hunter and his warriors spread out, while Lobo and Taya circled the area where she'd lost the scent. She'd refused to leave, determined to pick up the trail again. Her curses as she moved around him amused him, but he knew how frustrated she was. If she were a wolf, she'd be whining and running zigzag patterns with her nose to the ground. "We've got to do more!" She kicked a rotting log, and splinters of soft wood flew everywhere. "This bitch is responsible for getting you banished from Moonbound and nearly killed, and..."
"Hey," he said from where he was kneeling next to a footprint that appeared to be older than what they were looking for. "It's okay."
"No, it's not." She rounded on him, her expression fierce, her eyes glowing hot, like amber put to flame. "I know what it's like to have to hide who you are because some jackass will kill you for it. My mother was always looking over her shoulder, and every time someone knocked on our door, she was sure it was the government looking for me. You lived that way for decades, an outcast punished because of what you are, and she needs to pay for that." Sure, it had sucked to be ostracized because of what he might do with his ability, and he definitely wanted Sunina to answer for any crimes against Moonbound. But nothing would change the past. What mattered now was the future. A future he'd fight for the way Taya was, right now fighting for him. She needed to learn how to be a vampire, but he wouldn't give her up. Their relationship might be forbidden by vampire law, but only if they were caught. Once she'd spent some time with the clan and had learned more about vampire life than he could teach her, he could take her somewhere safe, where no one knew them. Alaska was sounding better and better.
"How do you feel about snow?" he asked.
She blinked. "What?" She jammed her hands on her hips, and he realized he liked her in jeans. Not as much as he liked her naked or wearing his shirt, but there was a lot to love about the way her curves filled out a pair of pants. "We aren't talking about snow. We're talking about capturing someone who tried to kill you." He sighed.
"You really are a dog with a bone."
She gave him a flat stare. It was the same stare she'd give him when he held a tasty treat out of reach to tease her before tossing it into the air for her to catch.
"What?"
he asked, feigning ignorance.
"That was funny, you know, because... wolf?"
Clearly she was not amused. But that was okay, because he cracked himself up enough for both of them. Damn, it felt good to have someone to banter with, to laugh with. There hadn't been enough of that in his life, and he was ready, so ready. Shaking her head as if he was a lost cause, she went back to searching, disappearing over the top of a shallow rise. He continued scanning the ground for broken twigs, displaced rocks, any physical sign of Sunina's passing. He was about to join Taya when he heard an excited yip. A yip he recognized. His heart missed a beat.
"Oh, Taya, you didn't. Tell me you didn't."
He charged up the hill and his gut slid to his feet at the sight of Taya in wolf form, wagging her tail. He couldn't utter a word, couldn't breathe, couldn't move. Not until she put her nose to the ground and took off. Fuck. He had no choice but to chase after her. He called out, but why, he had no idea. It wasn't as if she could talk to him, tell him why she'd done such a stupid thing. Besides, he knew why. She'd said it earlier. It was her turn to save him. Not this way, Tia. Not this way. She didn't stop. She was on a mission, and she was going to see it through. This was nothing new. As a wolf, once she'd picked up the trail of a deer or rabbit, she didn't stop until she either caught it or lost it for good. Sweet Maker. How could he both love and hate her dedication? His mind was a tormented, tangled mass of anger and sorrow, and even a little reluctant pride that grew with every mile they put behind them. Maybe she could shift back. Maybe Nicole was wrong. Please let her be wrong. Up ahead, Taya halted, ears pricked, tail high. Then abruptly she crouched, hackles raised, and slipped into some thick brush as quietly as a ghost. On instant alert, he eased behind a fat fir tree and peered in the direction Taya had gone. Beyond a moss-covered stand of old growth, something moved. Sunina. What was she doing? He crept closer, trying to figure out why she was hovering over a flat stone, her mouth moving silently. A chant? Was she signaling someone? Time to get some answers that were long overdue. Fingering the hilt of the borrowed blade in the sheath at his hip, he started toward her, but drew up short before he made it a half dozen steps. Expecting her to chat like an old friend or even an old enemy wasn't going to work. She was stubborn and crafty, and she wouldn't give up anything easily. It was even possible that Hunter wouldn't press her unless he had hard evidence of what Lobo claimed was true. Without her confession, Lobo would look like a liar, and his expulsion from the clan would be considered justified. Fuck that. He was getting a confession, and he'd break every law of man, nature, and vampire to do it. Inhaling a deep, ragged breath, he summoned an image in his mind of Shadowspawn's clan chief, Kars, and hoped he was capable of shifting. Taya's blood and the bag of human blood he'd sucked down after a shower at Moonbound had done a lot to fortify him, but still, taking another form this soon after the last shift would be iffy. Even if he could pull it off, it wouldn't last long. He had to hurry. He closed his eyes and concentrated, encouraging the burn of the shift, welcoming the pain of it. Every snap of bone and rip of torn nerves could be laid at Sunina's feet, and he was going to make her pay. Finally, agonizing heartbeats later, he was the spitting image of Kars. At least he hoped so. It wasn't as if he had a mirror to check. He just wished he could shift clothes as well. Kars didn't seem like a jeans and tea kind of psychopathic tyrant. He was more of a my jacket is made from the skin of my enemy type. The pain of the shift faded as he circled the clearing and approached Sunina from the front. She looked up from the rock and let out a startled yelp. Kars! She swallowed loud enough for him to hear. I only just sent out the signal. How did you know I'd be here? She lowered her voice to a near whisper. Did our mutual friend warn you that I may have been compromised? Mutual friend? Did Moonbound have another spy in its ranks? Yeah, he said, running with it. How'd you get out so quickly? She looked around, her eyes wild as if she expected an ambush. He came to me in my quarters. Said Hunter was questioning the Skinwalker, if the Skinwalker talks. Her expression twisted into an ugly mask of hate. He knew the feeling. I told you we should have tried again to kill him. The way she spoke so casually about killing him made him want to reach out and strangle her. He hoped there'd be time for that later. Those were your failures, he said, figuring Kars would pin any and all blame for pretty much any failure on someone else.
Contact our mutual friend and have him meet us.
Yes, she said, bending over the rock again. Of course, he's probably nearby, pretending to search for me.
She broke off with a gasp and stumbled forward, clutching her throat. Blood sprayed